This is a prevailing prayer with GSW, an inspiring teaching that nurtures Christians' ability to pray right by the Spirit. This revelation will open your eyes to how to be led by the Holy Spirit in place of prayer. God bless as you listen.
Jehovah, Ebenezer. Jehovah, Ebenezer. Jehovah, Ebenezer. I remember the first time I heard that song, Olumideyo was singing it live at the incubator. And the Holy Spirit said to me, as I was listening to him sing, he said, he called me Jehovah Ebenezer. That was how I gave him the song. But in trying to interpret it, in trying to make it into English and make it into Yoruba language, the essence of the song was lost. He sang it as, Lord, you are my helper. But Ebenezer is not you are my helper. Ebenezer is hitherto the Lord has helped us. Meaning that Ebenezer is a line that was drawn to demarcate the boundary that the Lord set in lifting up a vision and establishing it for a person. So it is not, Ebenezer is not the Lord my helper. Ebenezer is the Lord has helped me. See, I'm going to be speaking today on worship, on true worship. And I would like everybody who can be on the call to be on the call. It is one of the strategies that we use to gain spiritual advantage. So this week, mostly, I'm going to speak about spiritual advantage, how a Christian deepens his fellowship with the Holy Spirit, how you are able to ascend, how you are able to see the supernatural, how some Christians have communication with supernatural entities, while some Christians, all their life, all they know is religion. I've met Christians who are 70 years old, devout Christians, even pastors, who said they've never heard from the Holy Spirit. They've never spoken to him. They've never had a relationship with him. And yet, there are pastors that pastored a lot of people. At least in a lifetime, if you are 70, 75, 80, and you are reading your Bible, and you are teaching people, counseling people, being posted from church to church, you will have at least come across at least 50,000 people if you are in the urban area, because they will post you from church to church every 4 years. And you start your ministry at 20, and now you are 80, 20, 25, and now you are 80, so, and you will retire at 70. So I was wondering, okay, so what was he teaching people? He will prepare his sermons, and then he will lead people in prayer. The prayer that he will lead people is not spirit-led. Many of us, we know how it works when we are reading the Bible. We will see a prayer. David said, Lord, turn the counsel of Ahithophel to foolishness. So you say, Lord, anybody that wants to hurt me, or anybody that is raising a case against me, turn their counsel to foolishness. This is literally how we pick prayer points from the Bible. And we write it down. As you are combing through scripture, you will be picking them. Either you pick them literally, or you say, Lord, oh Lord, give me a friend like Jonathan, somebody that was able to betray his father for his friend, somebody that will be loyal to me, inferring it from the story of David and Jonathan. And so oftentimes, religion then takes over. No breath of the Spirit, no relationship with the Holy Spirit, no interactions of the Spirit, No communication of the spirit. But we'll still go to church. When we get to church, there is a program order of program. We follow the order of program. In fact, in some churches, choir administration is listed as, in Yoruba language, omidaraya, meaning that even they know that the ministration is for entertainment. They will say that the choir will give them a song so that they can dance a little. So they put it there as omidaraya, and people know that that's what the song are for. And so at the end of the day, people who worship a God they don't know. The pastor does not know God. Therefore, he couldn't introduce that God to his members. When members face life challenges, they come to the pastor. The pastor uses psychology, a lot of human wisdom, to try and help them or guide them through life. The supernatural that they were boldly promised when they give their life to Christ, the only aspect of it that they will get is that their sins will be truly forgiven and they will receive eternal life. Those two is sure for them. The reason is because they have given their life to Christ. It is up to them to grow in knowledge, but there is no opportunity to grow in knowledge. And so they will start attending church. The next thing is to use moral fillers to try and teach them indoctrination. Teach them this is how, now you are a Christian, this is how you must dress. So they'll be looking at how other people who are Christians dress. So that's why you will have a rule in certain churches where they will say a Christian cannot wear jeans, a Christian cannot use earring, a Christian cannot use wave on or hair or perma hair or use makeup. That's why they have those rules. It has something to do with heaven. It has everything to do with how close the mind of the pastor is. Some are very close-minded, some are a little bit open-minded. Some, their education allowed them a bit of room. Some, because they travel abroad and they see the other Christians in the Southern Baptist Convention, in the Anglican churches abroad, in the Church of England, they see that. So they simply try to copy the things they see and they localize it wherever they are and they begin to teach these things to people. They didn't have God for himself. They didn't know the Holy Spirit for himself. The pity. Sometimes some Christians would reach out to me, send a video. And they are 2025 in some parts of Nigeria, Ibadan, upward into Oyo, into Ogbomoso, they would do a crusade. 90% of the prayer is about Ogun battle. And when I say battle, in English it sounds better. If you see them praying about these things in Yoruba language, you realize that these people are praying imaginary prayer that will have no effect on their lives. They have put God in the abstract. God is no longer real to people. God has become an imaginative entity that when they pray to him, they also have to create imaginative problems in order to satisfy God. So they then come up with all these prayer points that has no value to God and will have no value to them. And this takes us to the place of worship. When it comes to the divine, the supernatural, you will notice that there are several entry points by which the Holy Spirit reveals himself or takes us deep into himself as believers. As you get born again, one of the first things the Holy Spirit gives you is the ability to speak in tongues. As you master that, you notice that you also begin to sing in tongues. Many of us think these two are the same. No. The same way as speaking in tongues is not the same way as praying in tongues. When I'm speaking in tongues, I'm edifying myself. Maybe I'm alone in my room and I'm just praying, I'm just speaking in tongues. I didn't want to engage my mouth in unnecessary talks. And when I was in my former office, I used to do it. When I noticed that people are gossiping or they are gisting, office gist, and I didn't want to be involved, I was just start doing shikatea para, kataparo, osutu ketepetikitia. I would use it to ignore them. I would use it to walk away from, I would go to my office and close my door. That is speaking in tongues. That's not praying. I have every right to do that. It is not a sin. I can speak in tongues because when I do it, I build up my own most holy faith. When I pray in tongues, however, it's another gear. You will notice when we are praying in tongues, the intensity changes, and then the Spirit begins to speak through us. You begin by saying, and then suddenly you notice there's a switch. And then the Holy Spirit begins to give you instructions. You begin to say, oh, there's somebody on this call. The last person that led the prayer, Brother Godson said, oh, there's somebody, your name is, I think he said the name of the person is Fatima. But God said, now your name is Tehila. He didn't write that down before he began to pray. It is in the place of prayer that such instructions then come. So you will notice that when you are praying, there is instant instructions. You are praying in the Spirit, then the Lord begins to tell you stuff. And as he begins to tell you those things, without even thinking, you are saying them out. Your own ears will be hearing them for the first time out of your mouth. What did Jesus Christ say in John chapter 16? He said that when you get to the place where you will speak, he said you will open your mouth and I will feel it. He said you don't even need to ask, how will I defend myself? What will I say? He said, just be praying in tongues. Allow my spirit to well up in you. And then open your mouth like this. Words will just jump out. That happened to us. That happens to us consistently when we are praying. When we are praying in tongues. And many of us don't pay attention to these things because we live in the conscious realm of the flesh. A lot of us, when we are praying, we are so conscious. We want our words to make a lot of sense. So when we are praying, we want the English to be correct. Anybody that is praying like that is saying, thou Lord, we beseech thee, we speak to you, as if God is using Cambridge Dictionary to mark grammar. You are thinking that if the grammar is not correct, God will not answer you. That person is absolutely praying in the flesh. Anybody that prays like that, our communication with God by the Spirit has nothing to do with the language with which you pray, if it is not the language of the Spirit. So you must understand that. And so in the same vein, how God then gives us words in the place of prayer, God also gives us songs. Songs that come from the throne of grace with which we worship. And the angels sang a new song. And they say, you are worthy, Hekipiana, Revelation chapter 5. You are worthy, for you have died, you have been crucified, you have triumphed, you have been enthroned, and you have broken the seal. Hey, you are worthy. And they will sing songs of worship that came from the annals of the Spirit. Those kind of songs come from the place of prayer. They are not songs that are just put together. Somebody will sing one song, and then you will come and add biblical lyrics to it using the person's tune, and then you will say, yeah, you want to sing a song of worship. I remember when I was in secondary school, Telidon sang a song. You are my voice when I couldn't speak. You are my whatever. And then I noticed that the student fellowship that we had in Olivet Baptist School that time, they usually meet every Friday. Then they invited me. I wasn't born again at the time. But I go to church a lot. I know church. So there was this girl there that was we're in the same class that was always on my case. Maybe they told them you must bring somebody. And she always felt that I should be the one she should bring. So she would always tell me, today, come for student union fellowship meeting. We are meeting at Kinnickel Hall. Please, today, 2:53 p.m. So I went. I got there, I saw all of them with their two hands lifted. And they were singing, you are my children. I was like, these ones are not Christians. What kind of nonsense? What? I did before you love me. I stood. I would walk away back to my hostel. But for that one, I stood outside until they finished. Then I called Sister Titi that invited me. I said, you people are not Christians. I'm not born again. But if certain joy inspires you to be singing a song, and I say you are singing it to Jesus, you must have serious mental problems. People don't know the difference between songs that come from the Spirit of God and songs that come from the devil. The same way we receive instructions and inspirations from God, the same way those who worship the kingdom of darkness and darkness itself receives inspiration from him. And all of us can interpret our inspiration to English. We can, because they also speak serpentine tongues. They will receive a song and then they will break it from their spirit code, and then they will bring it into normal language. And you will see the song having the Mimshak and everything now spread all over the world in 3 days, in 4 days, in 5 days. It will go viral. And people say, oh, but that song is not from God, but hey, why is everybody listening to it? Why is everybody dancing it? The same way we also receive songs from God and receive it from the throne of grace. We receive it in our sleep, we receive it in the place of prayer. And that song, we receive it by the Spirit. Sometimes we receive the tune. You just hear the tune alone. There is no lyrics yet. Sometimes, if you look at your hymnals, Mr. A will receive the tune. Mr. B will be the one to bring the wordings. They will write it there. This song was composed by whatever Crawford, and then the it was put together. It was put together by H.E. Guilford. And then they will tell you somebody supplied the lines and the song, and somebody supplies the lyrics. And so you understand that putting songs together is a thing of the spirit. And I'm teaching us this today because it is important when we worship God so that we worship Him in spirit and in truth. It's very vital. A lot of us, we go before God and we ignorantly just waste our time. We think God accepts just anything. So the devil would make a music. Somebody wrote to me and said, do I know a song that is very popular? Said it was Naira Marley that composed it. And then a church, some church people took it and they changed certain things. And then they brought it into church. And then the old church was dancing to it. And I was like, is it that? Are we saying? It's just because you then have to understand. People say that the presence of God is so difficult to assess now that they cannot send and receive inspiration for the church in this day and age. We have so many churches filled to the brim every Sunday, and yet members of the choir, members of the church, they do not even have an inkling how to receive divine breaths of the mysteries of God in sharing the word, in music, in art, in engineering, in inventions. We basically just we have been reduced to using our imagination to chase vain. Bible said it was vain oblations. That's why many Nigerians, how brilliant we are in the flesh, we are very dumb spiritually. We are very brilliant. You see somebody that's a professor, very brilliant in life. They will say he's the number one anthropologist or whatever. Everybody will be respecting him globally for his mental ability. And then you will hear that such a person is doing charms. And that there is one illiterate Baba that is giving him chance to protect him from enemies. And then in your head, you will not be able to reconcile it. He said, this man is the number one scientist in chemistry that is doing this. That was what we were told. And this guy is a professor. And this professor is engaging in this diabolic. And then you realize that it is a problem with Africans. No matter how educated we are, at some point spiritually, we just do not have the understanding. We do not equate the understanding of the reality of the spiritual with who we truly should be. So I do not imagine, I cannot imagine that I will stand on an altar with anybody under this heaven. Some of the reasons when I was told I was invited to a church and I saw the musicians they are bringing to sing there, I began to have a double mind whether to attend their meeting. It's true. Because it shows a lack of discernment. You want to celebrate God. You want to celebrate God. You brought somebody who all he would do is do Adasa. And how? And tell. That is what he's coming to do. And you will say, yeah, we are celebrating our God. And it seems everybody has own, and that is why it seems that even though we are religious, we are not spiritual. I'll tell you the truth. I grew up under the tutelage of a mother who receives songs from God. When my mother was the head of the choir, Christ Apostolic Bible Church, when I was a teenager, the pastor would basically say, we are singing hymn 80, and nobody in the whole church will know the hymn. And the pastor will say, go to the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit will teach you. And I've seen with my two eyes, my mom, stay in our room, fasting and praying, trusting God for the tune to a song. And I've seen with my two eyes a bird that flies with two wings, singing an anonymous, put it down. I said, this is the tune of the song. They didn't tell me the story. My mom may be on this call now. They didn't tell me the story. I witnessed it as a teenager several times. There were times when somebody would have a grandfather clock in the next house. My mom would be praying and fasting that God would give her the tune to a song. And then the grandfather song will sing, will begin to sing when it is maybe 12 or 1 or 2, because those songs were programmed with different songs per hour. And then that song, my mom would say, wow, that song. And then immediately she'll write it down. And by the time we get to church on Sunday, as God is my witness, as soon as we sing that song, the whole church will scatter. As God is my witness, if I didn't see it with my two eyes, I saw it over 50 times. That comfort has come, that comfort has come, that Holy Ghost from heaven, that Father from his giving, who spread that light is high, wherever man is found, that comfort has come. Next thing, the whole church, tongues, prophecies. As a living witness, as a young man, I saw. It was one of the reasons why I couldn't settle. That was something everybody could tell me. When the people are, you know, I was a young Christian, and people would say, it is the lyrics that matter. I said, shut up. I don't want to hear, you cannot. Antecedent. Me something that is not, somebody can't bring a fellow song. You can't bring a song and change water. You don't get enemy for Jesus. You don't get enemy, and I will take it from you. I remember. I will say, no. It is not about the lyrics. That is superficial. The spirit behind the music, do you know it? Do you know it? I do not believe in just gathering people. They want to dance, just dance, shake body. No. My faces. If I sing in the spirit for you one time, people have been known to sleep for 4 days, to sleep for 3 days. When I go to their houses and then I sing. When the Lord says sing, our sicknesses will die. Because there is an infinite possibility in God if we are willing and not lazy. We are willing and not lazy. If we are not the thing that every Jack, Dick, and Harry is telling, but the phone trying to look at every nonsense that everybody is drinking out. If you would reach deep within, you should have your own songs. It doesn't matter whether your voice is good or bad. I remember one day, Sister Kanichi, Dr. Kanichi, she may be on the line now. She sent me some songs that God gave her. From the throne of grace, she was praying the night and she heard music and she wrote them down and she recorded them on a voice note on our phone and she forwarded them to me. And then in the morning I woke up, I just saw a series of voice notes. It's not a very fantastic singer like me. What did Dr. Kanichi say? Then I played the music. I played the music I was listening, and the next thing I saw was a vision. It projected out of the music. I never told that to tomorrow. The vision of our first, of our second ordination service. Our second ordination service that we are going to have in Neoma City. Or the first one we'll have in Neoma City, but the third one, second one we are having as a ministry. Was from that song. I played it on WhatsApp. I was listening to it and my eyes opened and I saw Optasia and I saw how the ordination service went for about 5 minutes while the song was playing. That was it. And that was exactly what we did when it was time to do the program. If you receive from the Lord, it will balance realities of God. We have forgotten how to ascend. We have forgotten. They have kept our eyes, our noses in our phones, kept our ears in iTunes and other places, and they flooded the airwaves with junks. So much so that they are forcing us to satisfy our thirst for water with coke. They knew that eternity is woven in our system, and that as long as man is alive, man will search for God. They knew it. The only way they would stop us from searching for God is to give us something like a placebo, something that we will be experiencing that would then seem as if it is quenching our thirst. And they know that thing cannot last us for long. So they create it in abundance so that by the time you drink this, drink this, drink this, eventually you get tired and you not look for water again. Jesus Christ did not tell us that out of our belly shall come out Coke or Fanta. He said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. It is water that God said, and the enemy has produced all sorts of alternatives. You get to church, say somebody is singing. Person sang go 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 go. Christians carry it to church. Another person is singing. He did one thing. Everybody carried it. Go go go. They just assume that we have itchy ears. We just want to be part of the fad of the new thing. Things that did not ascend, we encourage it. It is because we did not challenge the originality. Many Christians, I don't know how we think personally. People would attack you, but does it matter? when somebody sings a song that the source is not of God, and you know that this thing will not help the Church of Jesus Christ, you should be able to say, I say it. I don't want to hear this music. I tell my wife often, I say, no, that song is not of God. One day she said, which one is of God? Then I said, I know the ones that are of God. You should believe. Once I hear a song, no matter how so, no what your voice is, it doesn't move me. I'm not moved by the shenanigans of people. I hate superficial reality. I like people to have depth. If you have depth and you begin to sing from the utterance of the Spirit, and your composition, the song you compose, comes from God. Once I hear the song, my spirit is enlightened. My spirit is bubbling. There is joy in my spirit. I know. No instrument to put together. When I hear and my spirit is not. You cannot beg my spirit. You cannot bribe it. My spirit will say no. That's what I say. Why are many people saying this thing is not good? Why cannot worship God like this? The scripture said that God told Cain and Abel to bring sacrifices. God knew their jobs. God knew that Cain was a farmer. God knew that Abel was a shepherd. The acceptance of the gift has nothing to do with God likes blood. God does not like blood. When you look at scripture, God accepts grain offering. Grain. He accepts first fruit. First fruit. It is in our time that they turn first fruit to money. First fruit was never money. It is the fruit, literal fruit of farmers. First harvest. Oh, I went to the farm. I saw my oranges. They have been growing, but these ones are the first ones to become ripe. I pluck them, maybe 20. Then I take them to pastor. I say, bless it. The others are in the farm, but these ones are the first 20 that are very ripe. Then pastor will bless it and maybe share it in church or eat it. But that is my first fruit. That was the Bible. It is not that they are calling first fruit or first salary. And every time they tell people things, people are so gullible. They believe every nonsense. I don't even know how. And these are educated people. So sometimes it baffles me that when somebody has a PhD, the person cannot. Isn't it that when there's a spirit in church, that does not make people think? Because you should think. Members are thinking, it will help the pastors to think. When members prove that they are dumb, pastors then will not be encouraged to think. And when we don't think, we don't push ourselves. In thinking, we improve humanity, we evolve. It is a lack of thinking that has led Africa to where it is today. We do not think. We just take people's instruction. Yeah. We just take it. Somebody said, somebody was in the place, said, I can never. If I get a job at one particular place, he was mentioning some companies. Are you going to work there? I looked at him. I said, you see this one? See this one? See this one that's stuck? No sense. And people are nodding their head. People are nodding their head because it's so easy to drink believers. There is more in God. Every believer must therefore desire that I want the living waters to flow out of my belly. And the Bible said, with joy you will fetch. So, a believer, therefore, must know that one of the key ingredients of ascension, now you are born again. So I'm not talking to unbelievers, I'm talking to born again Christians. You are born again. You are full of the Holy Spirit. You want to see visions. You want to walk in the supernatural. You have to change your thinking. I thought about that yesterday. You must have the mind of Christ. You must be deliberate about reading the scriptures and applying the inferred word of how a Christian must think as written. You must begin to think that way. Now begin to say to yourself that nothing shall elude me. I see all things. I know all things. In fact, you must speak and think the way Jesus spoke and taught. The way Jesus was thinking was not written. But you can easily deduce how he was thinking from what he said. So I learned early to take out all the word of Jesus Christ in red. Actually, in the book of John, I will be repeating them. I will be repeating them when I'm walking. I'll be saying it. You, for you do not know the scripture. I'll be saying it out. I was trying to reprogram my mind to speak as he spoke, to have the kind of feel that he had, because Jesus brought a unique knowledge into the world, and he was the only one that had it, and he was successfully able to sell that knowledge in 3 years. That was revolutionary. He spent 3 years in ministry, and in 3 years, he was able to sell the knowledge of heaven and God that is contrary to what had been on ground for generations. He was able to sell it, and he was able to sell it by the Spirit. And the disciples were able to buy it, and they not only buy it, they change the world with it. And that shows you that if we receive something from God, and we do not copy the world, we receive it directly from God, that it is more impactful. It is more impactful. God will give me a song. I will sing it. Those who are looking for children will get pregnant. Those who are deaf will hear. Testimonies will flow like a river. I wouldn't even have to promise them that, oh, when you hear this song, I don't like people who hype songs. Again, when people hype songs, I think, why are you hyping it? Well, because you then build up people's expectation, and some of the results will be placebo. Don't hype the song. Don't say, ah, we sang this song in Calabar, 33 people fainted. We sang this song in Uyo, 45 people fainted. When you talk like that, there are some people, as soon as you talk like that, you begin to, they begin to think that if they don't respond to how you spoke, that you will be disappointed. So they will then respond, and it will not be from God. So don't hype it. If it is from God, it will do what it's supposed to do. Just speak it. In fact, oftentimes, when I read scripture, you see I don't mention the psalm I'm reading. If I'm reading from the Bible, I'll just read it. I'm very careful to remove the hand of people from scripture. All the lettering and the numbering and the versification of the Bible was not in the original text. It was put there by King James. So because of that, I avoid King James. I avoid all the amendments he did. I'll just read the Bible straight. So you know, I'll just read it. People wondering what scripture is he reading. I'll be thinking, why is he thinking what scripture am I reading? Why is he not just listening to the scripture too, so that they can be blessed? Because we have to retrain our mind. If somebody is speaking for the word of God, you have to receive. Your number one thinking is not, ah, which psalm is that? Is it psalm 6? Psalm 10? Is that Revelation 4 by having guys reading? How is that your business? If you program yourself like that, you are going to lose the blessing. The point is, somebody is speaking for the word of God, your hands are supposed to be raised, and you are supposed to receive, not be thinking in your head, ah, I know that psalm. That's psalm 15. That moment you are thinking, you are already distracted from service. And these are the little things that keep us from ascending. Because usually when I read scriptures, people go into the spirit straight. I know it. I noticed that in the early days, when I read Psalm 24, Psalm 29, by the time I read the third Psalm, 15, 20 people will have, they will have ascended in our meeting. They would go into a trance. They would be on the floor. But as soon as everybody figured out that those were the Psalms that Abin Guy is reading, as soon as they figured it out, and all of them began to memorize those scriptures, they stop ascending. They are not following me with their brain. They are not following with the spirit anymore. And I noticed it. I noticed it in my memoir. I said, these scriptures are powerful. But when people become familiar with these scriptures, then the scriptures will no longer do what the scriptures are supposed to do in their life, because they are no longer processing that scripture with the spirit. They are processing it with their brain. And so I will switch the scriptures. I will just say, this time we are not reading the scriptures. So I have to switch to other scriptures that they are not familiar with, so that the scripture can work in them. A lot of people do not understand. I do not need your brain. If you are in a lecture room, the letter we need your conscious brain work. When we are in the presence of the Lord, it is your spirit that should. I teach spirits. I say it all the time. My duty is to teach your spirit, to bring illumination to your spirit, the illumination of Christ. And then from your spirit, you begin to teach your own soul, you do your own duty, and then you become the fullness of Christ if you follow that process through. So I notice, I pay attention to the changes, to the things the Lord gave me, and how I would then distribute them, what happens, and then I notice how people quickly go resistance to the things of God. Once they process it with their mind, they'll just say, that should be Psalm 19. Once they begin to do that, they no longer go. I paid attention to it, to the word. So sometimes now I switched. Same thing with songs. Let the song come from the spirit. You have that with your team. The Lord has showed you how to sing it. You sing it, they begin to hear you. Ah, yeah, 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 yeah. They go into the spirit. I remember one time, maybe it'll be like 7 years ago now. I will lift up your name. I will lift up your name. It was Victoria Renzi that was singing that song at the incubator. She had not become a big pastor as she is now. Then she was, both of us were like age mates. She was looking so petite in a denim gown with a violin. She came to the youth church to minister. And she was singing. And she was singing that song. I was in my office in Magodo. My laptop was in front of me. I was watching their youth service. And then they said she was the one singing. I didn't know how for Madam. And as she began to sing, ha, hey, kipaya, yeah, yeah. I told her when I eventually met her, I said, you will never know, but it was your ministration, this song. You sang it maybe on a Sunday, but I was watching the video on the Monday morning, and I heard you singing. And suddenly I saw myself on Mount Pisgah. The Lord told me, you are standing on Pisgah, surrounded by eagles, a big guy. That had their neck, every part of their neck was golden, and they stood like men. And I stood among them. I was wondering, what are these? What are these? I was sitting in my office. It wasn't like I was sleeping. And I was looking, and the eagles took like each eagle flew, and I saw the color that went. The color just came out of them. It's blue, golden color. It would just cover everywhere. And the fragrance and the color was so much. I feel that I was shaking. And the Lord said, I wanted to show you what it feels to stand in the midst of the malachs, of the angels of my presence. I was like, my God. And when I was coming out of that vision, she was playing the violin. She was playing the ta-na-na-na-na-na. And I came out. I was like, wow, who is this girl? I've never met her before. I had to write down. I was singing to that song every day. I went to my church. I went to tell the choir, go and listen to this girl. You may not have the same experience I have, but it is not the song she sang. It is the spirit behind the song. That spirit will minister to you. It transformed the choir I was leading. I was the minister in charge of choir at the time in my church. It transformed the choir. Why? Because I took their eyes away from the song. So the spirit behind the song. Many of us now listen to song with our ears. We have forgotten what it means to listen with your spirit. Many people don't even know. Our spiritual senses are so dull. Everything has to begin, begin, begin. It is the beat. We now begin our head like Koskaris. Genge, genge, genge. Eh, genge, genge, genge. Hey, we know. It is a beat. I feel like there's a beat. When we are not singing, it is no longer the spirit that we do minister to. And that is a terrible thing. That's a terrible thing. It has to change. We have to begin to bring back The wonders of the Spirit from the throne of grace. In his presence, that is pleasure, that is music, that is music, that is patience, that is knowledge, that is wisdom, that is instruction. There is nothing any believer may need for life and godliness that is not available in his presence. You just must learn how to ascend. You must learn how not to allow spiritual things, how not to become familiar with spiritual things. There are people that they've never read Ezekiel before. The first man, I said, read Ezekiel chapter 1, 2, 3. He read it. The testimonies came. It was on social media. He put themselves. Testimonies came. The spirit of death that killed his father, that killed his uncle, that killed his older brother at 40. That spirit was coming to their house. There was all these big flies. He said they were all over his father's house, and then the father died 4 days later. Then they were all over his uncle's house. His uncle died 4 days later. Then they were all over his older brother's house, and the older brother died 4 days later. 2 years after that, all these flies just arrived at his house. He said he didn't know where they came from, that there were so many. Then he wrote to me. I can still find it. He wrote to me on Twitter. He said, help me, please. There are, I don't know, thousands of them everywhere. I've used insecticide. I've used all these things. They refuse to go. Please, but I think I don't want to die. This is how it happened to my father. How it happened to my uncle. And as he was saying it, I said, oh, okay. Let me show you a scripture of the mighty power of God. Take your Bible. You yourself, open Ezekiel chapter 1. Read it out loud. Walk over your house. Just walk over your eyes and read it. Because that scripture talked about the appearance of God to Ezekiel at Lake Chebar. And I said, invoke the same appearance. And he read it. All these things died. All the aspirants, they died. They died. By the time he finished reading, all of them were on the floor. He and his wife used broom and whatever to pack them from the window from everywhere and set them on fire. They took pictures. They sent it. They sent the testimony. That was how powerful that scripture is. When you do it by the Spirit. Now, some other people will carry it now and be reading it with sense, and it will do nothing. It is not that the potency of the Spirit is not there. It is that the person, people are no longer using spirits to do spiritual things. It is so easy for us to go into carnality and be forming religion with spiritual things. The Bible said, Nadab and Abihu, that when they saw that their father became high priest, they suddenly wanted to do some things relating to priests. That's how they died. Because they went into carnality trying to do spiritual things. I want to teach you. I want to encourage you. Sharpen the handles of your spirit. When we come before the Lord, when you go before the Lord in church, there's nothing wrong with dancing. I have no problem with it. Ask anybody. I love people to dance. I love to dance. I have no problem. I just want things to be done by the Spirit. Like now, at this point, they will just bring a music minister. They just say, Iron Braka. I say, what is that? What is this? I don't know danceable songs that are from the Spirit. Must we just pick stuff? Must we just sing? Just anything? As long as you put a little bit of Jesus or you bring a little bit of beat or somebody saying, oh, no. We cannot go the way of the Europa. We cannot substitute religion for God. Europa substituted religion for God. He said people need religion, so he gave them religion, but he took God away from them. We must not allow anybody to take God away from us and give us religion. No, you must hold on to that which is true. You must hold on to your God. I said, my admonition to you this evening, stop on the weight of the Spirit. Look at your music, whatever. If there are songs there that you know are not, delete them. It is high time that we begin to get high again on the Spirit. Not high of this world. To substitute for how the Holy Spirit makes us drunk. They have created thousands upon thousands of opioids and drugs and they are spreading it all over the world because they know that men, human beings, will look for God. If you leave a man alone by himself, you don't give him drugs, you don't give him anything, he just sits down, he will start looking for God. We are programmed to search for God. So they wanted to fill that hole. So they keep coming up with fentanyl. They come up with MAD4. They come up with angel dust. They just feel like anytime anybody is feeling like yearning for God, they just say, give him drug. So that thing would cause his brain not to think of God again. They are numbing. They were numbing. They are still numbing our desire for God because they know that in our true nature, all human beings are God seekers. But we already know the handouts of the Spirit. We shouldn't then allow their shortcuts to affect us. We are supposed to bring the reality of God to the world. People that are drunk with wine, when they get drunk with the Lord, they are going to begin to change. They see that it is a different kind of high. It's a different kind of high. We finished our meeting in Kogi the other day, and some of my sisters were sitting on the floor. After the meeting was over, they were gone in the spirit. The same thing went to Abeokuta, some gone in the spirit. Newman City, we will finish Newman City. People will be gone in the spirit. It's another kind of high. But when they come back, Adibaba, Adibaby, the fire in their eyes, and the wonders they do speak for themselves. This is the reality of the Christianity that I desire and that I will always stand for. I do not in any way invalidate the need for other ministers to teach other aspects of Christ. But this is the one thing that I have always wanted. One thing have I desired. And that one thing is that the reality of the Holy Spirit, the river of life, the anointing, the ability to walk in the supernatural, that is the one thing. His presence is what I want. Has always been what I wanted. Has always been my desire from day one. Who is like the Lord in all the earth? Your presence is everything. Everything to me. So I speak to us today as brothers, as sisters, as elders, as my seniors, and as my colleagues, as saints in Christ. Let us go back. Let us go back to the source of all things, the code, the soft code of life. Let us again bring music out of the throne. Let us again bring instructions out of the throne. Let angels be our teachers again. If I tell you this, I tell you, have angels that teach me. Let angels be our teachers again to show us the things of the Spirit, to show us the realities of God. Let angels be our teachers again. Let kings be our nursing fathers. Let princes show us. Let us not learn from the world and bring it to the church. Let us again, the Bible says in Ezekiel 47, that the water flowed from the temple outward, and everywhere the water touched, things were turned. Revelation 22, the water flowed out, and everywhere it touched, things were changed. It has to be from the temple outward. We have to get music from the temple outward. We have to get inspiration for our businesses from the throne. Because everything we get at the throne, we can sustain. In fact, they have life of themselves by themselves to sustain themselves. We do not have to struggle. Everything God has ever told me to do or that you have ever seen me do, I do by the Spirit. That's why there's never another of program when we meet. I don't have another of program. People will come and meet me. What is the other? I say, there's no other. When we gather, the Lord will take over the meeting. And every time, we've been doing it for years. There's no other. When anybody that takes the Bible before starts the service, when you begin to speak in tongues, all of us start. Anybody. And some services, there will be no preaching. Some will sing throughout. Some, the move of the Spirit will take over. Whatever we get is what we get. But we want things done by the Spirit. It is the one desire that I have. It is my plea to you this evening. It is time to go back to the source It is time to purge ourselves of this substitute that we are taking in the place of the realities of God. So many of us are we have become spiritually numb because all the things that we think are feeding us spiritually, they are actually poisonous because their sources were not of God. Their sources were not of God. Since yesterday or since 2 days ago, there's a move of the spirit that has started. And the testimonies are coming in from all over the world about the stirring of the waters and the release of the Tigris. It is important that at this time, many of us, all of us, in our place of worship, as we talk to the Lord, we do it by the Spirit. We partake of this washing of the waters. We allow the waters of the Lord to wash over us. We allow His water to buoy us, to carry us. We allow ourselves to feel the living waters. So I ask you sincerely to yield yourself to the Lord. The glory of Israel is at work in us. And He's doing great and mighty things for His church. I bless you and I bless your offering. I declare that the offering you have given is an indication of your faith, is an indication of your love and obedience to the word of God. Therefore, all things will obey you. I declare that your spirit is enlightened and sharpened to do the will of God, to walk in the power and the glory of God, and to fulfill your destiny in Him. I declare there will be no struggle. For you, there is a way of escape. Nobody can hem you in. Nobody can glory over you. You belong to God, and in Him shall you glory all the days of your life. Thank you, Father, for answering our prayers. For in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Let somebody that is blessed shout, glory! Glory!
We hope you have been blessed by the teaching and revelation you heard today. For more spirit-filled teachings, please visit the ministry website at www.gswmi.com. God bless.